Tim has always been a cornerstone of our Rosacea genomics, genetics, and breeding research community. In 2004, he galvanized that community by throwing down the challenge to answer the industry demand for application of cutting-edge genomic science to our crops. And so in answer, our community wrote the Rosacea genomics, genetics, and breeding white paper in 2006. It's quite fitting that Jim, who is Rosebreed's extension team leader, gives us the final talk in this session on the project's legacy, the handing of the torch to the next generation.
Thank you, Cameron. And I think all of us thank Cameron for coordinating this session, putting it together and providing us with templates to follow in each of our slides. I noticed everyone did a nice job. And also thank you, Ksenia, for your cheerleading approach. You practically said it all on your final slide that Rosebreed goes on forever, just got no money. So we have to find some other ways to sustain it. And that's what I'm going to talk about now. Amy set it up with the sustaining the legacy of Rosebreed early on. Then you've heard some terrific talks that gave a lot more detail. And I'm going to try to take a step back and look at a broader overview of the legacies of Rosebreed. Planned. Some of them seemed to be planned. Others were serendipitous. Okay, my outline, a little bit of background on SCRI. Cameron already set it up. A couple slides on the Rosebreed SCRI approach, and then some of the legacies that we feel the project has provided. I'm going to start off with something I think kind of keynoted Rosebreed throughout, was that his attention to stakeholders, to what stakeholders said, thought, and wanted us to do. And this was said just recently in January. Thinking back, one of our stakeholders said, you know, I thought this was just a bunch of PhDs talking to each other and going to spend 5 years going to San Diego and PAG and that sort of thing. So I wonder if we're really going to get anything out of this, or is it just another 5 years of taxpayers' money going to scientific endeavors? Reaching back, those expectations were high. The industry stakeholders expected, based on a lot of the work they've been doing since the early 2000s, to generate interest in the research and specialty crops. It's 2019, and 10, 15 years ago, we did not have the kind of funding opportunities nor the level of biological knowledge that we have now. Neither did we have some of the attention paid to real integration of extension, not just as an add-on, and actually looking at transdisciplinary scientists. So it was great to have Vicky here reminding us that social scientists also use rigorous methods and can be included in a lot of our activities. So that was a lot of expectations, a lot of the pre-work. Our external stakeholders, and you can read some of them there, were concerned about using resources carefully. Our internal stakeholders at land grants, ARS, et cetera, trying to figure out how to work together in a new area in which specialty crops tended to fight each other rather than to collaborate. It was really an internecine warfare in a lot of cases for the few research dollars that were available. But 2008 Farm Bill, everybody knows now, we started a great tradition. Every 5 years we hope that we get a reauthorization and appropriation of funding. There have been some subtle changes, maybe not so subtle, the loss of matching requirement, which has helped us all, but stakeholder priorities have been driving the SCRI from day one. And NIFA came into being. This was back when it was in D.C. I guess we'll have to flip it around so it's in Kansas City for the next slide. And I want to thank at this point, this is not part of Rosebreed, but I think everybody in this society owes the leadership of ASHS in retaining Jonathan Moore as a lobbyist, and I'd say Thomas Bjorkman's hard work over time, and particularly Tom Buick, who for 10 years with a thick skin has endured the slings and arrows of administrative ups and downs, rejections, angry calls from PIs that can't figure out why they didn't get the project through. But Tom, as an ASH member, has really been instrumental in allowing us the opportunity to have the kind of funding that we needed for projects like Rosebreed. So our Rosebreed SCRI approach was, these are the classic, what you're supposed to do if you read the RFA. And I think what Rosebreed did that was particularly significant was focus on stakeholders. It has been, and if there is anything else coming out of Rosebreed, these are really stakeholder-driven projects. As Amy pointed out, RB1, we listened, and our stakeholders said focus on fruit quality. We had some successes there, wasn't quite enough, so combine disease resistances, durable disease resistances with fruit quality. So it was a very logical and linear approach, although it was a bunch of moving parts in a CAP. And now here's the things that are really are the focus of my talk are the legacies, and I've broken them down into four areas of knowledge, tools, education, training, professional development, and then stakeholder and community development. Many of these have been covered quite adequately by the previous presenters, so I'm not going to go into much detail, but I will show you this is a graphic that is soon going to explode because these are the publications from Rose Breed for the past few years. In 2019, this is as of January, so I can comfortably predict that that bar is going to go in beyond the ceiling within the next couple months if every major professor has his or her graduate students get their stuff in and they take time this summer, and you're one of them. So we really do feel that the scientific legacy of Rose Breed is exemplified in the literature. It's fine to have meetings. It's fine to talk to each other. But now that we have peer-reviewed products out there that verify, validate what we've been able to do. And in fact, in a lot of ways, this allows us, what did Luby call, post-diction. So we're going to look back and see if it really was true, Jim. Jay did a great job in presenting just one little slice of the breeding materials, the parents that are available now, and the knowledge around them. This is true not only in apple, that this slide indicates, but in many of the other crops that Jay and his pathology team worked with. Legacy of archived data. Dory Main gave a really nice update on the GDR, which 10 years ago was just getting started. Not quite sure, is there anything to put in there after all? Yeah, the BIM system. A lot of the tools that have been developed that are now a legacy. GDR is a legacy forever. Again, have to work on funding for it. But we've got a tool, we've got a platform that we never had in specialty crops before, far beyond rosaceae now. So the GDR actually includes a whole bunch of specialty crops of importance to this society. Diagnostic tools, this is merely one slide, but everything you saw in Ksenia's talk and Jim's talk and Luis's talk are some of the tools that the team at NALA and Cameron and their team members developed over time. Those legacies, as Ksenia said, it's a little infinite loop. They're always going to be there. They're always going to be improved. And when you look at when we started off, we were kind of laughing at strawberry. What are those guys ever going to do with that impossible-to-analyze set of genomes that no one even knows what they are? And look at what Luis has been doing in his group and the Whitaker group. Steve Knapp in the back of the room is taking everything forward. And now in 2019, strawberries is the star of the show. It isn't peach anymore. So we've got a lot of tools, however, where everybody in each of his or her crop well, yeah, Ksenia's releases have lucky break number five. There are some terrifically exciting things happening with the DNA diagnostic tools. We could have a whole series of workshops on those. And I also want to point out that, again, some of the transdisciplinary work is a legacy. I know many of us starting off as biologists were concerned about working with these scientists that all they did was surveys, and then they analyze them, and they do these amazing logit analyses. It actually turns out to be very helpful, very thought-provoking, when we work not only with our ag economist friends, but with extension folks. A legacy of education, graduate student programs, participant meetings, technical workshops, professional meetings, they all disappear into ozone of 10 years of meetings, but every one of them was important. The training that our graduate students and postdocs got, the genomics workshops, project review and adjustment where we really did pay attention to what our advisory panels had to say to us. Mm-hmm. Professional development for new adopters of DNA information. It wasn't just about the graduate students or existing programs. It was convincing other skeptical breeders that these tools could be utilized in their programs. Professional development is something that we monitored, and this is another nice thing about having an external project consultant. We monitored the use of DNA information throughout the course of the projects to the point now where 73% of the breeders are using DNA in this country, and we know where every rosaceous breeding crop program is. We didn't know that when we started off. The next generation, some of you are sitting in the crowd. Each one of these graduate students now has a position working in research and specialty crops. Some of them ventured over to things like grapes, but many of them have stayed in the rosaceae. Community development, and maybe this is something that Cameron alluded to. We feel we are a network community. nationally, internationally. It's not just among scientists. It also includes our stakeholders across the board. Again, scenes of yesteryear when it did snow in East Lansing. How odd, in March. Our international collaborators have been key to our progress, and we now have a network community where we can sit down and spend many hours over meals, over beers, etc., over the past 10 years. And hopefully those things will continue. They never go away. Spin-off projects. Spin-offs were never considered competitive. These are just three of them. And one of them didn't even get funded, but I bet you try again on that armillaria thing. So spin-off projects were part of the community. They advance us all. Stakeholder engagement, and I'm going to end up with this. We've had stakeholders involved throughout. I'm going to embarrass Amy. She doesn't like it to look back, or she doesn't like quotes, but these are some of the things that our AP said to us in their own words. And we can show all the data in the world, scientific publications, posters, etc., but when you're working with your stakeholders and you get people saying stuff like that, that's not just industry folks, but it fellow scientists from other crop groups. Nick Rosebreed has really stood the test of time and is an exemplar of team research activities. Education, training, professional development, we've all learned, whether as students or as professionals. Stakeholder community development. We're excited about the future. Spin-off projects. Project's been great. We've got to get back and tell our own stakeholders how good it's been. The success is collaborative spirit, research community, transdisciplinary industry stakeholders. I think we've really changed the research paradigm in many ways, not just Rosebreed, but a lot of other projects that have done the same thing. Finally, what I really think is a take-home message is that as opposed to the skepticism of the one comment, we feel that taxpayer dollars really have been effectively earned, and perhaps plaintively as we contemplate the end of a decade of work, John Clark. Bummer, and this is probably what you said. It's ending just as I'm beginning to understand what it's all about. I think that's a fair way to look not backward but look forward and all the exciting things that are going to be happening down the road. Questions? Questions? Yeah, where do you get breakfast around here? Are there any questions? If not, we can go ahead and take a break.
So is this what you asked up back in 2000 and early years there? You know, is this what you imagined where we'd be at?
Absolutely. But there's no evidence one way or the other, so you're going to have to take my anecdotal assertion. Oh, I think this is what we had in mind. And, you know, this is what, as a stakeholder representing at that time the Washington Tree Fruit Research Commission, we were frustrated by what we saw as egoistic, useless, frivolous rivalries among groups across the country when rosaceous crops, from the producer's point of view, had big problems. There are outstanding exceptions among programs that... But really, ARS didn't work that much with land grants, and the private sector wasn't involved. And you look at what we got in 2019. We've got private sector, public sector, a whole bunch of people that are working more closely together. The next generation has really come up in a team research context. I think that's probably something we were hoping would happen. We were hoping we'd have a lot more money than we have now, but based on successes like this project and others, it's pretty easy now to go back and show impact to your congressional staffers and policymakers that it does make a difference when you have enough money to put into solving problems of huge magnitude. Breeding's a long time, but I think we can see some of the exciting stuff that Jay's talking about, Ksenia's talking about, Luis, et cetera. We've already made a difference, so... I guess it was hopeful, but, you know, you have confidence in the future. It's going to be amazing in 2029. Hopefully the meeting won't be in Vegas in July. But yeah, well, it should be great. It'll probably be biggest Vegas by then. I think it'll be fun to imagine what it's going to be at that point. So, yeah, I think this is what we had in mind, an exciting bunch of science and a bunch of solutions that stakeholders have been asking for a long time. Yeah.
You this may not be particularly fair to you, Jim, but what's the vision for informatic aspects of this in the management of like GDR? And so, you know, some of us haven't been actually intimately involved in Rosebreed experiments
yes.
that have data.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering what the, you know, if there's some you know, thinking in the community, because it's just a vast network of information.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an unfair question, Dr. Knapp, but that's what I expect from you, of course. Yeah. Dory Main, as a driver in GDR, is well aware of this issue. One of the challenges is that there is not a lot of money available for sustaining databases that are now just databases, whether it's the National Plant Germplasm System in Grin, whether it's TARE, when you can't get any funding from NSF anymore, or maybe from SCRI, the sustainability model that Dory envisions with her National Research Resource Project is a fee-for-service. So you as scientists are going to have to put into your requests a certain proportion that will go to the maintenance and expansion, not just the maintenance, but expansion of GDR and other databases that are essential for further progress. So you can write a big old check. You don't have to limit it to 3 or 5% of all the grants that you're pulling in now. You can start the volunteer process.
Well, I think that it's a great way to do it. It's always challenging.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's hard to describe how important that database is compared to a new bacterial spot peach. I mean, you can tell what that is, but to get excited about, you know, algorithms and the servers and all that stuff. So it's something that I know Dory is aware of and other database curators are aware of, and they're trying to work together more effectively as well. We don't no longer have a multiplicity of crop-specific databases, for example. Yeah, Herman.
I would like to use this opportunity. I was one of the people who, 25 years ago, was involved in Washington to hire Jim. Jim is retiring. There's two things. I want to thank Jim. He has far exceeded our expectations in Washington State. I also know that he has 75% extra time. I encourage Wall Street to make use of Jim. He knows where the funds are for the future of the project. Jim, thank you very much for what you've done.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Herman. Thank you. Well.